Welcome to the Nova Nation podcast. This is Rob Logan. On this episode, my good friend and co-host Chris Merle and I have a debate on the conference championship tournament and then talk in depth about futures bets. All that right now on the Nova Nation podcast. Listen up. Go Nova. What's going on, Nova Nation? Back from a little bit of a break. Quick update. Your men's basketball team has two wins in their last two games. They came back from a COVID break, beating Seton Hall 76-74 in a close game. Colin Gillespie with 22 points. Jermaine Samuels with 20 points off the bench on that game. And then beating Providence 71-56. Colin again with 15 points leading the way, along with Moore, Justin Moore with 15 points. Jermaine Samuels in that game having 10 rebounds and earning Big East Player of the Week this past week for his two games and those two wins. And on the women's side, the men's team does now improve to 10-1. And they are now ranked third in the nation. And then jumping over to the women's, they have a game going on as we speak against St. John's, where they're winning. They're up by 11. That would bring them to 9-2. They also had a 2.5 week break due to the COVID, and their next game will be coming up against Marquette Wednesday, January 27th. So a lot going on. We're back to playing basketball. I got my co-host with me, Chris Merle. And Chris, I got a little bit of excitement going on here in Nova Nation as Trey Patterson has stepped onto campus and is basically now with the team.
Yes. And hi, Rob. That's good news. For those people that don't know, he is a 4-star recruit from the great state of New Jersey, and he mm-hmm. played high school basketball at Rutgers Prep. He's a 6'7 forward. He was a 4-star recruit, and he was, I believe, in ESPN's top 10 rankings nationwide, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's probably their biggest recruit since Bridges.
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know if Bay or Robinson Earl was a 4-star. You might be able to confirm that or not.
I don't think so. I know Robinson Earl might have been a 4-star out of Kansas, and he was heavily recruited by Kansas, but chose not to go there because he wanted to kind of get away from that area.
Yeah, he grew up in the Kansas City area. Yeah,
and that's how he ended up at Villanova. So he might have been a 4-star.
Okay.
But definitely Trey Patterson. I'll tell you, I saw him on campus, some photos of him meeting the team and everything. And right off the bat, when you look at him, he's got some size. And I don't mean just size as far as height, but he's got a nice build, which, you know, that seems to be the knock on a lot of these freshmen as they're coming in. You know, they need to put on some weight. They need to get into the gym. But I'm going to tell you, from what I saw from Trey Patterson standing next to a couple of the guys, you know, just today, you know, he's got some size. And I think that's going to bode well for him playing in the Big East.
Oh, it should. Due to the NCAA regs, he's going to have to wait until next season to play, obviously.
Right.
But he can join the program and get involved. And like you said, maybe it's always good when they get into the building and into the conditioning and weight program. So it's a bonus. I mean, this year there were no freshmen on the team, correct?
Well, you got redshirted Dixon.
Okay.
Dixon was a redshirt freshman.
So this is actually his, he was with the program last year, but he didn't play in any games, right?
Correct,
Okay.
correct, correct, correct. So he's got 4 more, he's got, 4 years eligibility, which
Right.
obviously with the whole NCAA thing, it's that's kind of changed anyway with the whole COVID thing. So, but yeah, I mean, that stood out to me seeing those pictures, and I hope, getting him into the program and learning the practice and learning, what goes on. A lot of people, you read a lot of stuff on social media. There's a lot of talk of, asking the questions of whether or not he can play. I think every time I see a post about Trey Patterson, it's, when is he going to play? When is he going to play? I mean, he does have to sit out, and will be starting next year, but he definitely has a jump on a lot of the other freshmen coming in. And I think this was a very smart move for him to come in early.
Oh, absolutely. For the listeners that aren't aware, that might be from Pennsylvania or another state, New Jersey high school basketball only got the authorization to start on January 15th. So I'm sure that had some bearing on his decision to enroll because of the shortened season that's going to take place in New Jersey this year. And also, from what I understand, they're only going to be doing regional games, so conference play only. And Rutgers Prep is one of the bigger programs in the state, and they're only going to be playing probably around the Middlesex Union County area. So I'm sure, again, that probably played into his thinking of, getting on campus early and foregoing his senior year of high school basketball.
Yeah, and give credit to the coaching staff and everybody, at Villanova for, basically kind of seeing this in advance and, really, going after him and making sure he was eligible to do this. So, it's good for everybody, and it'll be nice to see what happens and how he plays coming in as a freshman. I'm very excited for next year, although very excited for this year as well. And we're gonna tonight, with after this, we talked about, what's going on now. I want to talk to you about a question that was brought up, and I kind of heard about it, and I heard some people talk about it on TV over the weekend, and I thought to myself, wow, this is a really good topic to talk about. Conference games are going to be coming up. I mean, conference tournaments are going to be coming up. And in the past, obviously, conference tournaments are huge, not only for teams that are, favorites, but a lot of these teams need conference tournament games to actually make it into the NCAA March Madness. But the question came up, if you're a top seed and one of the top seeds in the nation, and you have that going for you, do you risk playing in a conference tournament? And here's the little bit of the kicker for you, because some people right off the bat are going to say yes or no and without it. But here's the kicker, Chris. Everybody, players, coaches, all have to have 7 days of negative COVID tests in order to even be eligible to play in March Madness. So with the way that this schedule is right now, and if you've seen how March Madness is, it's a little bit more condensed. There's not as much time in between games. And the time in between the conference championship and the start of March Madness is very close together. Do you risk testing positive? And if you do test positive, basically you're out of March Madness.
Yeah, and that's the rub. I know that because of the cancellations last year of the conference tournaments and NCAA tournament, let's not kid ourselves, there's a lot of revenue that they lost. So I'm sure the conferences want to recoup that money. However, therein lies the problem. Do you risk getting a program shut down? And then what do you do a week later when you have to travel to Indianapolis or wherever, the state of Indiana, where they were supposedly going to do the tournament? And then you can't play. So I think
Right. And
I in a perfect world, the conferences really should just cancel the postseason tournaments. But I don't
right.
know if financially that's realistic.
Right. And Chris, I totally agree with you. From a financial standpoint, the conference tournaments are huge for them as revenue for, seeing, being on TV, getting TV money for all these games. And in my thinking, you know what? Have those conference tournaments. I think that's still the way to go. Make the money that you need to make and do what you got to do. But as individual teams, I think every single individual team in that conference, depending upon where they sit and where they think they're going to be either seated in March Madness or not seated, I think they have to make that decision on their own. And I think it comes down to each individual program, because I'm going to tell you, like, I'll be straight up right now. Villanova should not play in a conference tournament. They shouldn't. It's too big of a risk. They're going for a national title.
Yeah, and I mean, in all likelihood, they're going to be the number one seed in the Big East, unless they lose to Creighton twice. And with that being said, take it a step further, they're probably going to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament also. They have a very good chance. So there's a lot at stake. And do you take that chance? Do they have an option? I don't know. That's another thing. Maybe I don't know what the deals are with the conferences. Can you opt out of the tournament?
I would believe that you would have to have an option to not play in the tournament, in the conference tournament, if you did not want to, because playing, you don't have to play in the conference tournament in order to get into March Madness. So that right there, you don't need to do.
Besides, not to get
So.
too far off, other than Villanova and Creighton, who else is a lock in the Big East to get in?
Well, that's probably it.
Right.
As far as a lock, like a lock,
UConn's looked
good seeding,
UConn has played
absolutely.
well. They could possibly get in the tournament. Other than that.
Right. And I believe they have right now, I think they have six teams right now for March Madness and out of the Big East.
Really?
Villanova, Creighton, UConn, who's after that? I think Marquette was on the bubble. Seton Hall,
Right. They're
and possibly
okay.
and possibly Pro like
Providence.
Providence, like that. So, to me, it's too big of a risk. Every year when you start practice, the very first practice that you start playing this, playing college basketball, the number one goal is not to win your conference tournament. the number one goal is to win the national championship. That's what everybody wants. So, you know, and is this more of a coach's decision, or do you think you put it on the players? Because I guarantee you, if you put it on the players, they're going to want to play. But do you need to have that coach's decision to come in and say, hey, listen, you know, this is what we need to do. And, you know, we need to look big picture at this thing, you know?
At a school like Villanova, Jay Wright has so much pull. He can tell the athletic director, hey, I don't want to play. But it's
right. Oh, yeah.
A coach without as much skins on the wall. He's got two titles. You know, he has that type of pull. Other universities where you might have a coach as a second or third year, you know, AD is going to tell him, look, you know, we need to play. We need the exposure. We want the kids to go. And if we rack up a couple wins, maybe we do get in the tournament, you know. So it's, I think each institution and university has to decide for themselves, is it worth it, or do we need to make a run to get in, which you do see occasionally a team that's, like you said, it's on the bubble. They can go out and make a run in their conference tournament and win 2-3 games, and it might put them over the edge. So, you know, for Villanova, it's not going to make much of a difference, but for some schools, it might.
Right. And look at Duke right now. I believe Duke might not make the tournament right now. If everything were to stop right now, I don't think they make the tournament. So there's a team right there that needs the conference tournament to possibly play into March Madness. So, you know, so that being said, I mean, listen, if you have to play, you have to play. In order to get to that final goal, you have to play, you have to play. But if you're Creighton, if you're Baylor, are you really playing in these conference tournaments?
I would tend to agree with what you said, no, but I don't know whose decision that is and if they can make that call. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, with March Madness being how it's being done this year, with, you know, everything in one state, you know, they're trying to make it as much of a bubble as possible. They want to get teams out of there as quickly as possible to reduce the exposure. You know, the way that they're playing, the way that the schedule is. I mean, it's going to be, in my eyes, a little bit tougher because you're not going to have that spread out time to kind of regroup and get ready for your next opponent. So it should be definitely interesting. But with that being said, at this point in time, you really do need to think big picture and not necessarily a Big East banner up in the gym as opposed to a national title banner. You know what I mean?
I totally get it.
The iHeartRadio app provides your music, your stations, and is rated number one for podcasts. Stream unlimited music, thousands of live radio stations, podcasts, and playlists for any mood or activity, all in one app. The iHeartRadio app is easy to use, and best of all, it's free. Download the iHeartRadio app and start listening to your favorite live radio stations, podcasts, and music playlists today.
Merle, let's talk some betting, and specifically futures bet. I think I'm going to ask the question to you. Is a future bet as exciting as your other normal betting in your eyes?
It can be. It's more of a – it lacks the instant gratification because obviously you have to wait. But depending on the amount that you bet and the odds that you're getting at the time that you make the bet, the payoff can be very, very sweet.
Exactly. A better payoff. That's definitely a reason to look into future bets. And specifically, you know, what you place as a bet in order to win what you would win as a bet. Very, very important. So right now, just for informational purposes, I am on a I'm looking at the men's basketball championship for 2021 future bet. And okay. your top three teams are Gonzaga at plus 350, Baylor at plus 800, and Villanova at plus 900. Iowa actually has made up some ground, and they're in fourth with plus 950. So what that means is when we talk about the plus 900s or the plus 1300s or whatever it is, what that means is for every dollar that you bet, for instance, in Nova's case, they're plus 900. For every dollar you bet, you're going to win $9.
Mm-hmm.
So Wisconsin is plus 1300. So for every dollar, you'll win $13. So, you know, the favorite has not always won the championship. So there are some ways to make some money on this because you could, quote unquote, have a little bit of a long shot and put some money down on an underdog, and something could happen and they get hot, they get streaky, and the next thing you know, you win a championship and you win a boatload of money. I'm looking at it right now, and like I said, top three teams are Gonzaga, Baylor, Nova. Couple other notable teams out there. For instance, Creighton is plus 1900. Duke is plus 2500. Ohio State is plus 3000. So, Merle, if you were doing this and you were betting on the championship,
not just to get to the Final Four, to win the title.
This is the overall men's right. basketball championship.
Okay.
What would pique your interest, and where would you possibly lay some money down?
Well, I mean, can we? I mean, it's obvious. Can we say Nova at plus 900?
Well, yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, like I said, for every dollar you win $9, you put down, let's just say, $100 on Nova, you're going to win 900.
I like them to – that's a team, you know, that can win it all. I don't like Creighton's odds right now because they look so good right now. It's if those odds dropped, I'm not liking the plus 350.
For Gonzaga? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking a little further down the list. I don't know. Maybe a sleeper team like Tennessee at 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good – you mentioned Duke earlier. Duke and Carolina, these are not vintage Carolina or Duke teams. I wouldn't expect either one of them to even to even make the Final Four.
Nope.
I honestly, out of the ACC, I like Virginia better than both of those teams, and they're at plus 2,500. Now, I would like a team like that Correct. To make a Final Four run and not exactly get to win a title. Now, I probably shouldn't say this to the people out there, but – early season, just eye test, I really like Wisconsin. I think they're really good. And the Big Ten is the best conference in the country right now. But they're only, mm-hmm. they're getting plus 270 to make the Final Four. And to me they look really good. Nova is at plus 125 just to make the Final Four. And, you know, we've talked about it. It's they have a really good chance. So,
right. Well, that's the difference too now. So just the difference between that, obviously you're getting better odds to try to pick one team to go into, you know, one championship as opposed to picking one team out of four. So, you know, going back to that, what, you know, Villanova is to make the Final Four, be one of four teams, that plus 125, for every dollar you wage, you're only winning $1.25.
Correct.
So you're really basically just, you know, you're barely doubling your bet at that point in time with a team like Villanova to make the Final Four. So that's really where you got to kind of think, all right, do I risk a little bit more money and just, if I think they're good enough to make the Final Four, do I just risk a little bit more money and just get better odds and say, all right, they're going to be champion? Or do I say, okay, you know what? I have a really good chance of getting to the Final Four. Let's just put more money on that to basically, you know, win what I'm betting. So if I bet 100, I'm winning 125.
That's the tough thing. I mean, I would maybe, if it was me, if it was coming out of my wallet, I would bet more money on the Final Four because it's probably a better chance of hitting. And I would bet less money mm-hmm. on the long shot. And just in case it does hit, then you can make more money. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? You're correct. Risking less to make more, whereas if you're taking the sure bet, you're betting less to make money. So that if that's like, again, just throwing a number out there, maybe you bet $50 to win the title at plus 900, but to make the Final Four, maybe you bet 100 to make 125, like you said.
Right. And do you make both those bets to kind of maximize your
potential
betting odds and your betting wins?
Yeah, I would. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I would put them both in at the same time. And right. Honestly, I don't know how you feel, but I think plus 900 to win the title is actually pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. That was one of the first ones that stuck out to me. And I've already put my bet on
great.
That one because I definitely thought that was one of them. Now they also have, which is really good, is, you know, with futures, there are a lot of different things that you can obviously bet on. Another one is conference outrights. You get odds per conference, Big 12, Pac-12. For Big East regular season winner, Villanova is minus 250. So for that, for them to win the Big East, if you bet a dollar, you're actually only winning 40 cents. So you're not even winning your bet.
No, you're losing money. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's a tough one. Obviously they are a heavy, heavy favorite to win, the Big East. So that's kind of a tough bet. So I personally would stay away from that. But there's all the other conferences out there that you know, you can look at to see if there's anything that stands out to you. Creighton is second with plus 350. Connecticut plus 750. I mean, I saw a bunch of these teams play. I wouldn't lay the money out on any of these teams. And unfortunately, you know, I'm not getting good enough odds with Villanova here. So I might stay away from this Big East conference outright.
Yeah, I mean, what do you really think Creighton would sweep Nova? At best, they split, right? Yeah, right. So I can't see Creighton winning the title or UConn. Xavier, I haven't seen yet. Now we're going to see them coming up soon. I know that the game on Saturday was canceled, but I think they play on the 9th or the 10th. You know, if
actually, I think that one was is that the one that was made up on the 13th? I
13th.
Think.
Okay, so we're going to see them soon, but yeah. They're at plus 1,000. I mean, that's a long shot. You know, you want to throw $20 or something on that, I guess. But to win the Big East, I mean, other than Creighton, I don't know who you could even take. You know, they don't look like any good bets to me.
Right now, I'm sitting here and I'm going through this on my website. I got my beer right next mm-hmm. to me. I'm chilling, relaxing mm-hmm. Over the holidays. So I'm definitely looking to lay some money down.
Okay.
There's another futures that's out there that really has caught my eye, and that is the John Wooden Award winner for this year. And this is individual players getting a future plus or minus based upon their projection to win the Wooden Award. And I don't know if you've looked at this, but I'm just gonna throw some numbers at you for some notable Villanova players. Jeremiah Robinson Earl is plus 4,000.
Wow.
To win the Wooden Award. For every dollar, you're gonna win $40. Colin Gillespie is at plus 10,000. So for every dollar you bet, you'll win $100 if Colin Gillespie wins the Wooden Award.
Hmm.
They also have on here an even longer bet, Caleb Daniels.
Jeez.
At plus 25,000 along with Justin Moore at plus 25,000 as well. Hmm. So for every dollar you spend, you could win $250 if Justin Moore or Caleb Daniels wins the Wooden Award. Now, the odds of that, okay, let's not, you know, waste money and just, you know, shoot too far for the stars. Because remember in our last episode, my biggest thing when you're betting, and I don't care if it's future betting, straight up, parlays, whatever you're doing, you have to do your homework and you got to keep your research. That's the number one thing. You can't stray from that. So with that being said, the two possibilities of Wooden Award winners on Villanova, Robinson Earl and Colin Gillespie, Robinson Earl getting plus 4,000 and Colin Gillespie getting plus 10,000, you know, that might not be a bad bet, especially if you think Villanova is going to make it to the Final Four, possibly make it to a championship game, and possibly win a championship. Am I correct?
No, you're right. The only thing that gives me pause about Gillespie, I don't think nationally people know who he is. Remember, 2 years ago, they lost in the Sweet 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
And last year, no one got to see him in the tournament or the Big East. You know what I mean? So I don't know if people that don't follow Villanova know how good he is like we do. Robinson Earl, in the early part of the season, has sort of been – the breakout star. So obviously I understand why his odds are higher. I'm just looking through some of these other players. Of course, Garza, the big stud from Iowa, his odds are minus 390. That's obviously not a good bet. Mm-hmm. And then they have the three guys from Gonzaga, Kispert, Timmy, and Jalen Suggs. They're all at 12 plus 1200. Cade Cunningham, who's might be the first pick in the draft from Oklahoma State. And then Robinson Earl's down there at plus 4,000.
Chris, let me ask you a question.
Zagorovsky from Creighton is at plus 8,000.
Okay, but let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
when Jalen Brunson won the award, the season they had, the Final Four exposure, the conference exposure, averaging, in the, high teens, running a team, being the court general and kind of the go-to type person. Doesn't that kind of remind you a lot of what's going on right now with Colin Gillespie?
Yeah, I mean, they're really similar. It's just, I think last year, him not being on the national stage hurts a little.
Right.
And I think early...
I agree.
Yeah, early on, I think Robinson Earl has been getting more of the shine. But listen, this might sound crazy. I think Gillespie's a better player than Brunson, but, who am I to say that? But nationally, I don't know if a lot of people know who he is. But they're going to find out because he's really, really good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you have a solid – you have a solid conference year, and you're averaging double figures. You're definitely the court, the court general and everything like that. You come up with big plays, backing down, posting up, getting your points that way. Obviously shooting the three, a lot like how Brunson was playing, but you have that good conference season, then you start on that run. You start on the tournament, the Big East tournament. You play really good there. Maybe you win that. Maybe you win that award. And then the next thing you know, you're in, the March Madness, and you start to have that run there. To me, that's the formula that I think that Brunson, that's how he won it. So, I mean, For plus 10,000, for every you throw down just even $10 on Colin Gillespie, you can win $1,000 on a $10 bet.
No, I mean I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm just saying it is obviously it's a long shot,
Well, yeah, and plus we're kind of homers because we follow Villanova, so.
I mean,
we have that a little bit of as well. So I'm not going to say I'm not, rooting for him to win, obviously. But
right. I mean, you're asking me right now. Everybody knows Garza. He's the best player on that team by far. He might be the best player in the Big Ten. He's going to be a top NBA pick. But the two best players I've seen this year have been Kispert and Jalen Suggs. And I don't even think it's been close. So, but are they going to cancel each other out? Probably. Suggs to me looks like a one and done, and Kispert might be the best shooter in the country. So, I don't know. It's hard to say. But they're at plus 1,000. I mean, I don't know how good. Do you want to take one of those guys? I guess. I mean, you're not going to be making a ton on that, but it's something you got to look at.
Let's just say this. Right. And Chris, let's just say this. When you're making a futures bet, regardless of who it is, whether it's individual players, whether it's teams, you are going to speculate a lot. And that's what you have to do. You have to speculate in your mind the formula for your bet to actually come to fruition. That's what you have to do. So it has to make sense for you to be able to make that bet. And if you can't come up with the dots that connect to, this player winning the Wood or this team winning the championship, then it's not worth betting. But if there's a way for you to connect those dots, even if it's the slimmest of ways, possibly getting you better odds, that my advice is to go for it. If you can connect the dots, go for it, man. Like I said, $10 to win 1,000, Why not, you know?
Oh, I mean, it's $10. Yeah, I mean, it's like at that point, it's almost like a lottery ticket that you're hoping that hits that you can cash in.
Right.
Again, you know, I know we're using Colin Gillespie as an example, but I'm just looking down this list a little bit. I don't know. You know, it always helps when the Wooden Award players are on good teams too. And that's something else that, right, you know, you might want to do your research on. You might want to do your homework and go back and look at past winners and see how many past winners have been on mediocre or poor teams. I'm guessing it's probably there hasn't been a lot. So, again, you know, something to consider. You know, I'm looking at Iowa, Gonzaga, Villanova, Creighton. These are all teams that are going to be tournament teams. So, you know, just something to consider there.
Well, my biggest thing that I can say as far as the best idea for making a future bet is you're going to have to speculate. Sometimes it's better to know some of these players because they're on your favorite team. You might have a little bit of advantage of people who are picking nationally if you know your team, and it helps. I mean, like you said, it's not going to be that instant gratification. It is kind of more like a lottery ticket, but like we said at the beginning, your odds are good here, and the payoff is definitely a lot better than maybe picking straight up games or parlays and all that other stuff, you know?
Well, yeah, definitely than a parlay. Parlay is really tough. Straight up games. Again, we talked a little bit about that. Depending on the lines, the lines can be very deceiving. It might be better when it's a conference game. But now, with home court advantage really not an advantage for either team, road games maybe not as difficult. COVID testing, you know, isolation, everything's kind of like unusual this year. I wouldn't recommend not doing it, but maybe some of the older criteria that we used to look at, we can't base it on anymore. So kind of like the rules have changed. So that might be something you want to consider before you bet on the, you know, the old conference games that we're so used to seeing, you know, Villanova and Georgetown, Villanova and Seton Hall. You know, this year it's kind of up in the air. It's a little different. So, you know, look at the line, and if the line looks unusual to you, then there probably is something unusual about it.
Merle, on a separate note, real quick, we talked about it a little bit before we came on the podcast. Raptors, Sixers. Sixers right now giving 3.5. They're up by 2 in the fourth quarter. You making that bet or not?
Hell no. No, I wouldn't.
Merle, you know the Sixers don't beat the Raptors.
Nope.
This would be insane if they win. And if they cover.
Would you say
they don't beat the Raptors?
With 3.5?
It's 3.5 right now, right at this moment. And actually, the score is 93-89, so they're up by 4. And now it just jumped to 4.5, of course.
Oh, no. Yeah, who knows? That's tricky. I don't know if I would make that bet. I don't trust the Sixers against Toronto, like you said. That's a team they don't play well. They play better against Boston for some reason. I know the playoffs notwithstanding, but the Raptors have their number for some reason.
Are you looking for an expert advertising agency? If so, the Ryan James Agency will set you on a path to success. They are supremely creative thinkers with a future-focused approach. At the Ryan James Agency, they leverage their creative power with strategic digital marketing and advertising experience to demand results for their clients. Great results come from great creativity, no matter what the medium. That's the bottom line that raises your bottom line. Check them out at RyanJamesAgency.com. What's up, Nova Nation? If you have any questions that you would like to have answered or discussed on the show, email us at thenovanationpodcast@gmail.com.